Our first lesson today comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children, how you once stood before the Lord God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, "Assemble the people for me, and I will let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me as long as they live on the earth, and may teach their children to do so." You approached and stood at the foot of the mountain, while the mountain was blazing up to the very heavens, shrouded in dark clouds. When the Lord spoke to you out of the fire, you heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, which he charged you to observe. That is the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord charged me at that time to teach you the statutes and ordinances for you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. So it is time for the young people to bring up their backpacks. Clara's got hers working here. And even if you don't have your backpack today, come up anyway because you're going to get something for your backpack. Good job, Clara. That thing weighs a ton. But this is... Where's your brother? Oh, you're doing slides. Okay. We'll forgive you for that. So before we actually do the blessing, I just want to share everybody what we're giving you. We're giving you, I think this is the design. So the design on your bulletin is the front that says, "You've got this," right? And then on the back, it's, can't see the back, but on the back it says, "And God's got you." FPCY Sunday School's got your back. So take one and pass them around on this end, and I'm going to give you, I'm throwing them on the floor. They're not going to invite me back. There you go. There's no young person hiding in the back who didn't want to come up. And I have one for you, Oliver. You can get it later. Okay, so school started, eh? I have one for you too, Jamie. Everybody excited? Oh, good. Yeah, everybody's excited? You look so, you cannot imagine the excitement with which I am greeted. You just can't imagine. This is the point. I'm making jokes, but this is the point. We want you to know we're thinking about you as you begin your school year, and that school can be rough, and you know that you always have a home here, you always have someone here to talk to if things get tough, or if things are great, we'd like to hear that too. And so at this point, I'm going to ask the congregation to join me in a little responsive prayer as we bless the backpacks, and we're actually blessing you as well. So may you find strength and comfort in this blessing. So, God of all wisdom and learning, we ask your blessing today on all of our children, youth, and adults who are returning to school and sharing in your gift of education. Bless their backpacks and everything they hold.
Thank you for new notebooks and folders waiting to be filled. Thank you for books filled with new information and ideas. Thank you for paper and pencils used to catch the thoughts, words, and pictures. Thank you for scissors, crayons, markers, and craft supplies to encourage creativity. Thank you for erasers that remind us all that mistakes are okay and an important part of the learning process.
Bless their desks and classrooms, their computers and learning devices.
No matter where they are, may they be places of life and light, warmth and welcome, discovery and growth.
Bless their bodies, minds, and spirits.
Give them strong bodies, open minds, and eager spirits. Learn more about themselves and the world around them.
Bless all those who work in our schools and educational institutions.
Give them loving hearts, wise minds, strong spirits, and a passion for their students. Fill them with joy, sustain and strengthen them, and give them rest when
wise and loving God, you bless us with so many gifts, and you call all of us to a lifelong journey of learning and growing in faith.
May we all continue to discover and develop our gifts and to use them for your holy purposes, shining your light and sharing your love, caring for one another and all creation, working for your justice and peace in our world. Amen.
Thanks for coming up, and we have other tags for the people who weren't here, so if you have friends who weren't here and need a tag, let us know. Thanks a lot for coming up. Good luck in school. Yes, of course. And I invite all of us to join in the back-to-school affirmation of faith that's printed in the bulletin. We believe in children whose excitement and energy and creativity inspire us all to be more childlike in our lives and in our faith. We believe in teachers and in their calls to nurture and educate amidst increasingly difficult circumstances. We believe in grown-ups who wake up the kids, fix the lunches, volunteer at schools, and help with homework. We believe in friends and co-workers and neighbors who step in to help, encourage, and triage when children are discouraged, parents are frustrated, and teachers are weary. We believe that books should be read, not banned, and that teachers should only be armed with knowledge of subject, love of kids, and a wicked good sense of humor. We believe that schools should be places where children and their teachers feel safe. We believe and affirm that this school year will have challenges, but also triumphs. We believe in the God who created us. We believe in the Christ who knows who is to be us. We believe in the Holy Spirit who inspires us and infuses us with the strength to get up and do it all again each day. We believe in the wisdom, wonder, and joy that belong to us all. Amen.
Our second lesson comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 1, and then again 13 through 16. He left that place and went into the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. And crowds again gathered around him, and as was his custom, he again taught them. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Before I start, I want to make sure I thank Cheryl for playing in Garrett's absence, and I want to thank Vinny for being a liturgist, and I want to thank the tech team and the ushers for being here, and for you for showing up, and as we begin our first Sunday with two services. So it's great to see so many of you here. So you might know the book written by Kenneth Davis called Don't Know Much About the Bible. There's a whole Don't Know Much series, Don't Know Much About History, and you may know that series. And they come from a song that was recorded in 1960 by Sam Cooke, but then recorded by many others. It's called Wonderful World. And the lyrics go, don't know much about history, don't know much about biology, and then he lists all the things he don't know much about. So sometimes when I invite someone to join our Faith for Life classes, what we used to call adult ed, the person with whom I'm speaking will say, oh, I couldn't come to class, I don't know much about the Bible. Let me tell you a secret. I didn't begin reading the Bible till I was in my late 30s. When I first started, it wasn't that I didn't know much about the Bible. I basically knew nothing about the Bible. I didn't even own a Bible. I, like some of us, was raised in a Roman Catholic tradition in the 1950s. And in those days, the Bible was read by the priest. And it was read at Mass every Sunday, mostly from what we call the New Testament. And there was an epistle, which would be one of Paul's letters, and then a gospel, and that was that.
I don't remember learning the Bible stories that many of you probably learned as little kids. Oh, I know about Noah and Adam and Eve. I know those stories, but not because I read them in the Bible. In college, I had a course called something like The Bible as Literature. Shortly after I graduated from college, I stopped going to church. I hadn't been very connected to the church of my youth. I didn't really see any really need for church, and I didn't come back till I was in my 30s. Now, I can probably recite some of what is known as the Baltimore Catechism. Aha, some people know what I'm talking about. According to Wikipedia, the Baltimore Catechism is, quote, the first such catechism written for Catholics in North America, and it was the standard Catholic school text in the country from 1885 to the late 1960s. What's a catechism? Well, it's a text that summarizes the basic principles of a Christian denomination, usually in question and answer form. Now, Presbyterians also have catechisms. You may not know, but the Presbyterian Constitution has two parts. We talk a lot about the Book of Order, because we do things decently and in order, but there's also the Book of Confessions. And in that sense, confessions are statements of what we believe. And if you, and there's one in the library, and if you go into the book, you will see there's the Heidelberg Catechism, among other catechisms. So my religious education consisted of memorizing the Baltimore Catechism and learning prayers. No Bible stories. Why am I telling you this? Because any one of you sitting in church this morning or watching online probably knows more about the Bible than I did when I came back to church in the mid-1980s, attending Riverside Church in New York City. I owe a debt of gratitude to those folks at Riverside Church, and this was the name of the group. You think coming to Faith for Life is difficult? This was called Theological and Biblical Studies. And I still showed up. It's now called Adult Faith Formation, but that's what it was called. And that's where my biblical education began, just about 40 years ago, and it continues every day. The late author and theologian Frederick Buechner wrote about, quote, how to read the Bible without tears. And I loved this so much, I put this in a Disciple article, but I'm just going to read you the beginning of what he has to say. And this is Buechner speaking. Don't start at the beginning and try to plow your way straight through to the end, at least not without help. If you do, you're almost sure to bog down somewhere around the 25th chapter of Exodus. Don't try to plow your way straight through to the end, at least not without help. Why is it important to read the Bible? You might ask yourself that question. Well, how else are we going to know something about God? How else will we know what God expects of us? And perhaps the most important question is, if we don't know these things, how will we teach them to our children? In our reading this morning from Deuteronomy that Vinnie read so well, we hear the Lord say to Moses, but take care and watch yourselves closely so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Now, early Jews saw Deuteronomy as Moses' last will and testament. And if you've ever read the book of Deuteronomy, there's like five speeches because, you know, it's his last thing he's going to say before he goes. He's got to talk a lot. This one comes from the first speech before Moses passes away. And our portion comes where Moses is exhorting the people to remember their history and to teach it to their children. And this is a quote, assemble the people for me, and I will let them hear my words so that they may learn to fear me as long as they live on the earth and may teach their children so. Now, that word fear doesn't mean be afraid. It means be in awe, obey, respect. Who's supposed to teach the children? We adults are. So here's how I read this. All adults are responsible for teaching all children. So this means that while the folks that are teaching Sunday school to the children and youth of our congregation are important, the rest of us are not released from the obligation to teach our children. Those of us like me without children are still expected to teach children, the children of our congregation, the children we meet in our daily lives. Well, what about Jesus? What does Jesus suggest? So our reading from Mark tells us first that the crowds gathered around him and, quote, as was his custom, he again taught them. So Jesus is teaching the crowd of adults. Now, some of these people that Jesus is teaching are devout Jews, and they know the law and the commandments. I feel like we should say a quick prayer for whomever is going to... Jesus presses them often by saying something like, "You have heard it said," which is followed, "But I say to you." Most of the time, what Jesus is doing is expanding on the teaching. He's not contradicting it. He's expanding. He's interpreting. So I'm going to suggest to you that we might think we know the Bible stories of our childhood. But here's what I love about Scripture. Scripture doesn't change, but we do. Our circumstances change. The context of our lives change. The story of Noah might mean something when you're 10 years old. It's a totally different story when you're 40 years old, and it might mean even more now as we see floods like we saw this week in Libya in our time. What can the story say to us now? Same story, new insight. How do we learn to read the Bible? You're going to love my answer. By reading the Bible. Now, you know me, I love classes, I love teaching them, I love going to them, I love everything about them. I get my energy from being around people. But maybe you aren't someone who learns like that. Maybe you'd rather learn on your own. So here's a suggestion. This is the one that ends in September, but you will find around the church a little booklet called These Days, Devotions for Living by Faith. And in here you will find 3 months of daily prayer and scripture. It's a painless way to read scripture. It really is. And what you will find in here is a scripture verse and then a little two-paragraph, three-paragraph meditation. And before you know it, you've been reading the Bible. If that doesn't work, download a Bible app. Many of us have the Bible on our phones. That's great. But many of these apps have learning plans. And they'll send you an email each morning and say, "Here's the scripture for the day. Try that." Of course, I would love to have you come to our Faith for Life classes, but I know that doesn't work for everyone. I think of all of this as part of faith formation, that journey of faith that we take together. On Sunday mornings this fall, we're discussing a book called Belonging by Carolyn M. Lewis, and the whole book focuses on the conversation that Jesus has with the Samaritan woman at the well, which is described only in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. In her introduction to the book, Lewis says this: "Faith is an invitation to a lifelong conversation with Jesus." Faith is an invitation to a lifelong conversation with Jesus. She goes on to say, quote, "We might think of faith then not as something we have, but as a way of living, a way of being in the world." Now, the Lord is telling Moses to make sure that the story of God's people are told and retold, told to the children, told to each other. And he says, "But take care and watch yourselves closely so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen. Make them known to your children and your children's children." In our reading this morning from Mark, after Jesus teaches the adults, what's he doing with the children? Well, first, the disciples don't want the children hanging around Jesus. Notice that Mark tells us that when Jesus saw that the disciples were speaking sternly to the people bringing their children, Jesus was indignant. It's a pretty strong word. And look what he says to the disciples: "Let the children come to me, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And then he blesses the children. Now, some of you might know the name Rachel Carson. She wrote the book Silent Spring. She was a marine biologist, and Silent Spring really kind of began the environmental movement. But she also wrote a book called The Sense of Wonder. And this is what Rachel Carson has to say about how children see the world. "A child's world is fresh and new and beautiful, full of wonder and excitement. It is our misfortune that for most of us, that clear-eyed vision, that true instinct for what is beautiful and awe-inspiring, is dimmed and even lost before we reach adulthood. A child's world is fresh and new and beautiful. I think that's why Jesus blesses the children. I think also that Jesus is reminding us that we too can be full of wonder and excitement. And as Yogi Berra once said, you can observe a lot by just watching. So as we teach our children, maybe we can regain our own lost sense of wonder. Here's something I remember from the Baltimore Catechism. The question is, why did God make you? And the answer is, God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world. That song, Wonderful World, that I began the sermon with, the last verse goes like this. But I do know that I love you, and I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. Okay, he's talking about a human being, but I'm going to say this to you. For the love of God, know that God loves you, and if you love God, what a wonderful world this would be. May it be so. Amen.